Good morning, everyone. I wish when I was teaching that I could get order that fast. What a wonderful job you people did. All right, I have a few announcements. Joanne used to always give me announcements. Well, I don't get that now, so I had to make up some. So, here they go. We have 3 more weeks to bring sugar. And I see we have some today. So some of you are, and myself too, we've got to remember, we've got to pick up sugar. So we have a lot. There aren't as many people here anymore, so those of us that are here are going to have to step up and bring more. I'm sure Rich is going to talk about Pledge Sunday for next week, and I'd just like to remind you, girls in the back row, I just want to remind you to sign up for the luncheon, the soup luncheon. I think there's probably a lot of spaces left. You can still send cards to Joanne if you haven't, and letters, she can. Or when you're sick, the more mail you get, the better you feel. And our bazaar is going to be on December 7th, and we need workers to help that day, and we need people to bake a lot. Are there any other announcements or embellishments to what I said? Oh, okay. Then I guess we'll ring the bell. I was trying to think, what's next?
Carol, I have a prayer request.
Oh, are there any joys or concerns? Barb?
My neighbor, Alan, passed away on Tuesday, and just pray for the family.
He had a kidney problem. He was waiting for a kidney transplant. Just oh, that's too bad. Rick? Okay. Are there any more joys or concerns? Oh, well, that's a praise note. Yeah. Very good. Harvey?
No, Joanne's not with me today. She's, we got a mess around. She's just trying to move her back in from the nursing home, and it's just a mess. So she is working diligently from the wheelchair for 3 days now, trying to get things straight. And I'm sure this morning she's going to be so tired.
Yeah. So you tell her we're thinking about her.
Keep her, please keep her in prayer. Been very old, 60 years. I can't stand this. Can't stand it.
stand for the call to worship? Let us bless God every chance we get. Magnify the Lord.
We lift up God's name in praise.
Oh, taste and see that God is good.
Those that make their home in God are filled with joy.
Magnify the Lord with me.
We lift God's name in praise.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. Blessed are you, God of our salvation. As we turn to you in prayer, be with us and reveal to us your ways. Teach us to live in ways that honor you. Help us to be content with what we have rather than striving for more. Teach us, giver of all goodness, to be doing your sake for the sake of the gospel. Help us to be good doers of your word and not yours only. And help us to love others as you have loved us. Amen. Now, our first hymn is Come Christians, Join to Sing on 158.
Morning. So we heard the weather this morning and it said cloudy, overcast, not much sunshine. That's the way it was at home, but as we came this way, sunshine, it looks by the windows, there's lots of sunshine out there, but not going to be too warm, I guess, that time of year. It's good to be here this morning and good to see each of you. We have a full service this morning with our All Saints Remembrance as well as Communion. I'd like to invite you to a time of silent prayers. And following our silent prayers, I will lead us in our pastoral prayer and Lord's Prayer. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. Good to be in this place. Good to offer to you our worship and our praise. And good to seek your wisdom and guidance for our lives. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in faith that have gathered here with us. We pray for those members of our church family that are not able to be here this morning. We thank you for your good gifts to us. We're thankful for family and friends. We're thankful for that measure of health we experience each day in our lives. We thank you for those blessings of life that come to us, and we give you praise for all that you do for us. We're thankful for your Son, that through faith in him, we have received the gift of life eternal, that we have been born anew and adopted into your family. We thank you that through your Son and his death on the cross, we receive forgiveness and the opportunity to begin anew. We thank you for your presence in our lives and the strength and encouragement that your Spirit gives to us. This morning, as we pray, we ask for your forgiveness and pray that by your grace we might live more and more in harmony with your word and your will and follow the example of your Son. We pray for people who hurt, who are sick, for families that have lost loved ones. We pray for those who are on our prayer list, those we have named in our hearts this morning, asking for your grace and mercy and help in their lives. We pray for our world. We pray for those who hurt. We offer prayers for peace. We pray for those in California that are victims and threatened by fire. We offer prayers for those who are working to help. We pray in the midst of tragedy and disaster, your love and your presence might be made real. We offer prayers for your church. It is our prayer that as your word is shared this day, believers would be encouraged, and those who have not yet accepted you would be drawn nearer. We pray that your word would not return empty, but it would accomplish its purpose. We offer prayers for the churches in our community. We pray your blessing upon them. We offer prayers for this church, Saugatuck UMC, and we pray that we would be faithful to you and to your word, and that you would continue to use us and bless us that we might be a blessing to others. We invite your presence among us as we worship this morning. We pray that our worship would be acceptable in your eyes, and it is our prayer that as we worship, you might minister to each of us. Hear us now, we ask, as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, Rich is going to share a few words about stewardship.
Brothers and sisters, we're in the final week of our stewardship drive. And as I thought about this final week of the drive, one thing has been present through the years, and that's what we've been asked to do. We've been asked to provide service to the church and to those in the church. And service takes many forms that we can do. We've been asked to give a financial gift to help us do the things that we as a church need to do, provide our mission of helping others and providing support for our church and attending church, being here and praying for others. These are pillars that we have had for year after year after year. So in this final week, I ask that you pray about these four things and commit to doing those where you are able. And that's what Christ asks of us, to do what you are able to do. So as we enter this last week, again, I ask you to prayerfully consider what it is you can do in 2020 in those areas and how to choose to commit to do God's work next year. The fun thing about this, the hard thing is, as we consider those issues that God has called us to consider, after we get that hard work done, then we get to celebrate. And the celebration is fun. We come together as good Christians. We come together as good Methodists. We enjoy good food. And we celebrate our ability and gifts to God. I hope to see you all here next Sunday.
Morning, the reading is from Psalms 1 through 11, 25 through 40. It's found in your pew Bible on 492 and 493. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. If the Lord delights in a man's ways, he makes his steps firm. Though he tumbles, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I'm old, Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever. But the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his land is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in the power or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen wicked and ruthless men flourishing like a green tree in its native soil. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he couldn't be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from wickedness and saves them because they take refuge in him. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite you for our healing prayer. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy, our ushers will wait upon us and we'll receive our offering. Thank you. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that you would accept the gifts we offer to you this day, bless them, and use them and us in your service to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to remain standing and turn in your hymnal to the number 652. This will be our order of service for all saints. At the conclusion of the Canticle of Remembrance, I will light the candle, and then we will sing the hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. We will not use the musical responses, but read responsively. The souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them. And they're going from us to be their destruction, but they are at peace. Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good, because God tested them and found them worthy. In the time of their visitation, they will shine forth and will run like sparks through the stubble.
They will govern nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord will reign over them forever.
Those who trust in God will understand truth, and the faithful will abide in love. As I light this candle that represents all the saints, in your own way, remember those loved ones that have passed, and name them in your spirit to God. Our hymn is number 710, Faith of Our Fathers.
We shall be truly free.
Scripture this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Last Sunday I preached on part of this passage, a little bit longer reading, but I wanted to preach about contentment, recognizing that holy living brings contentment into someone's life. Contentment doesn't produce holiness. It's the other way around. And so that was the reason for my choosing to preach in that way. Let me read to you beginning with verse 6. There is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. Heavenly Father, in these moments, we pray that you might speak to us anew through your word and through your messenger. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought about asking you, are you content? I am asking you, but I don't want you to raise your hand to say that you are content. I certainly don't want you to admit to me that you're not content. I think we've all had experiences in life where we didn't feel content. There's a historian, his name is Arthur Schlesinger, and this is something he wrote. He said, our society is marked by undistinguishable discontent. Our quest is better and what is next. We want a better job with better pay and a better boss. Have you ever felt that way? We want better relationships and a better car, and a better backhand in tennis, or a longer drive in golf. And we have a propensity to live endlessly for the next thing, the next weekend, the next vacation, the next purchase, the next experience. He says, we are never satisfied, never content, and envious of those who have what we have not attained or accumulated. I realize I'm a preacher, but it seems like that's a very apt description of our society today. So many of us, and sometimes we ourselves, fall into those categories. I came across this account. I don't know that it's true, but I think it could be. A man once went to his minister for counseling. He was in the middle of a financial collapse. And he said to his pastor, I've lost everything. And the pastor said, I'm sorry to hear that you've lost your faith. No, the man said, I haven't lost my faith. Well, said the pastor, then then I'm sad to hear that you've lost your character. I didn't say that, the man said. I still have my character. The minister said, well, I'm sorry to hear that you've lost your salvation. And the man said, that's not what I said. I said, I've lost everything. Minister said, you have your faith, your character, your salvation. Seems to me that you've lost none of the things that really matter. I'm not sure we always feel that way, but there's truth in that, especially after reading the scripture this morning. There was an old Puritan who offered this prayer. He sat down to a meal of bread and water. Have you ever sat down to a meal of bread and water? I don't think I have, but he did. He bowed his head and he prayed, all this and Jesus too. John Stott is an English preacher, and this is something he wrote. Contentment is the secret of inward peace. It remembers the stark truth that we brought nothing into the world and we take nothing out of it. Life, in fact, is a pilgrimage from the moment of from one moment of nakedness to another. So we should travel light, live simply. Our enemy is not possessions, but excess. Our battle cry is not nothing, but enough. We've got enough. Simplicity says, if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. I remember a little conversation that my dad and I would have from time to time. He was in the nursing home, and his health was good, but he was getting there in years. He lived to be just over 90 years of age, and he told me when he turned 90, he said, I never dreamed I'd live to be 90. Anyway, we'd have this conversation. Because he had said this to me. He says, you know, we didn't bring anything into the world, and we can't take anything out of the world. And I said to my dad, you have to appreciate, my dad had a dry sense of humor. And I was gifted with that same sense of humor. I said to him, Dad, I said, if you want to take something out of this world, I said, why don't you give me everything you have, and then when you pass, before they close the casket, I'll slip a check into your pocket. He didn't think that would work very well. But it wasn't like that was said once. It was said a dozen times, I guess, and we just get around and laugh about it. But it's true. You come into this world with nothing. And of the world's material things, we leave with nothing. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, 12 through 13, says something about contentment. And Paul speaks of his own experience. He says, I know how to have a little, and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Paul was saying that contentment is something that is learned, not the result of circumstances. You know, circumstances change. They are sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes in the middle. And if our contentment depends upon circumstances, there'll be lots and lots of times when we're not content. I read about a man by the name of Doug McKnight. At the age of 32, he was diagnosed with MS. And over the next 16 years, MS would cause him to lose his career, his mobility, and eventually it would take his life. Because of the MS, he couldn't feed himself, he couldn't walk, he battled depression and fear. But through it all, Doug had this attitude of being grateful. And evidence of this came through a prayer list. Friends in the church where he belonged asked him to put together a list that they could pray for and intercede for him. And his response to their request was 18 blessings, 18 things he felt blessed for, grateful for, and 6 concerns for which he wanted prayer. You see, his blessings outweighed his concerns. He had discovered the meaning of contentment. He had learned to be content. I want to use a story that I came across. It's a true story, and it happened around here, and I don't know if any of you would be familiar with this story or not. It's about a young man by the name of Tim Vanderveen. Does that ring a bell for anyone? He was from Spring Lake. He was a student at Hope College, Holland, Michigan. He was a tall, broad-shouldered, curly hair and smile as big as can be. He was good-looking. In the early 90s, after graduating from college, he took a job, Johnson Control, and he went up the ladder of success quickly. And on a cold November afternoon, Tim called a friend of his, a former professor, Tim Brown, Professor Brown. And he said to the professor, "This is Tim Brown." And the professor said, "Well, Tim, how are you doing?" And with a weak, trembling voice, he said, "I'm not doing good at all." And so Professor Brown asked, "What's up?" Tim said, "I'm in the hospital in Grand Rapids. I got the flu or something. My folks are out of the country." Professor Brown said, "I'm going to Grand Rapids later today. Maybe I could stop by and see you. Would that be okay?" And Tim said, "I'd like that." By the time Professor Brown had got there for the visit, the doctors had already been there. And it wasn't the flu that he had. It was leukemia, acute leukemia. And it began a 3-year arduous battle that he would lose, or you might say he would win. Now, in room 5255, Spectrum Hospital years later, Professor Brown went to see him. His mother was in the corner crying. Tim was in bed. He had a pillow between his legs. His hair wasn't curly anymore. He was almost out of energy. And the professor had to get down on his knees to look Tim in the eye. And he said to him, "Hi, Tim." And Tim said, "Hi, Professor." There was a long, awkward silence. Professor Brown had been a pastor for 20 years, and he didn't know what to say to Tim. And then Tim broke the silence. He said, "I've learned something." The professor knew this much. You shouldn't stifle, you shouldn't trifle with the words of a person who is as sick as Tim was. And so he listened carefully, and the professor said to him, "Tell me, partner, what you've learned." Tim said, "I've learned that life is not like a VCR." The professor didn't really understand what he was saying. So he said, "I don't get it. What do you mean?" Tim said, "It's not like a VCR. You can't fast forward through the bad parts." There was a long pause. The professor is thinking to himself, where does he get this stuff? And then Tim interrupted the silence again, and he said, "But I've learned that Jesus Christ is in every frame, and right now, that's just enough." Contentment. It's learned. And it's learning that really, Jesus is enough. If you have Jesus, you have a God who hears you. The power of love is around you. The Spirit is within you. And heaven is ahead of you. If you have Jesus, you have grace for everything, direction for every turn. You have everything you need. And I like this story. I guess you can understand why. Leukemia cannot take your salvation. It can't take your prayers. This, again, is what John Stott wrote. Contentment is the secret of inward peace. It remembers the stark truth that we are brought into the world with nothing and we leave with nothing of the world. Life is, in fact, a pilgrimage from one moment of nakedness to another. So we need to travel light and travel simply. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that no matter what life is like for us, we would learn the secret of contentment. And know that having Jesus truly is enough. Our order of service for for communion is found on page 12. We'll be using just a portion of this order of service. Hear the words of invitation. Christ our Lord invites to the table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Please join me for the prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us pray silently, individually, asking for God's forgiveness in our lives. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Familiar with the account. That last meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, during the course of the meal, he broke bread and he gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And then later in the course of the meal, he took the cup and he passed it. He told them to drink. And he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sin." And the words that he gave to the Apostle Paul were to eat and drink this in remembrance of him. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that as we take these elements of bread and grape juice, they would represent for us in a spiritual way the merits of our Lord's death on the cross, and that as we receive the elements in our spirits, we would receive Christ anew and all that he's done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping serve to come forward at this time. I'd like to invite you to come and receive the elements now. invite you to stand if able for our last hymn, number 614. Join me for the benediction as it's printed in the bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.